We're beginning a new series here on Books and Arts on Australian philanthropists. We're always saying that we need more of them, so we decided to take a look at those that we have. For many years, Carrillo Grantner resisted following in the footsteps of his grandfather, Sidney Meyer, the famous philanthropist founder of the Meyer department stores. Instead, Carrillo threw himself into the theatre. He was an actor and director, one of the founders of the pioneering Playbox Theatre, and the driving force behind the creation of the Malthouse Theatre in Melbourne. But 20 years ago, Carrillo stopped fighting his family legacy and threw his considerable energy into the Meyer family's work in the arts. Here's Carrillo Grantner speaking to Georgia Moody.
Carrillo, we've met here in the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl, a hugely popular open-air venue in the King's Domain in Melbourne. The Melbourne skyline is rising behind us. And it's one of the many gifts that your family, the Meyer family, have given to the arts. Many people will have heard the story of your grandfather, Sidney Meyer, but can you remind us briefly about his life?
Yes, he came from a little village named Krychev in what is today Belarus, but at the time was Imperial Russia. His brother came out to Australia about 6 months ahead of him, and he followed his brother out. They left this village because there were pogroms to get young Jewish boys into the Russian army, and he didn't think that was an attractive option for his life. So he fled and picked up a boat through Antwerp and came to Australia, arriving at Station Pier in 1899. He worked with his brother in the rag trade in Flinders Lane for about 6 months, and then they took off to the goldfields area and became peddlers. He came from nothing and made his fortune here. He was entirely philanthropic throughout the journey because he knew that other people had it hard as he had. He was known for public acts of benevolence, like the dinner that he invited 10,000 of Melbourne's poorest people to join him for Christmas dinner, which he and his staff from the Meyer Emporium served at the exhibition buildings. He also, in terms of his corporate style, he was way ahead of his time. He had creches for children. He had a medical and a dental clinic in the business. He bought a holiday place in Mount Eliza for staff holidays. So he was a very progressive merchant, a great visionary. He said in 1930 that when everyone else was closing down and reducing employment in the Depression, this was a time to expand his business, and he built what today is the Bourke Street store there, expanding his business. He was famous for his Monday sales, which they say changed Melbourne's laundry day habits, because Monday had been the laundry day, but they became the day for Meyer sales. He was an innovator. He was a very attractive man. My grandmother, who was a widow for 48 years, I once asked her why she'd never remarried, and she said, "Darling, because I never found anyone as attractive as your grandfather."
That's pretty fantastic.
Well, it's an extraordinary story. It's a legacy that we've grown up with. It's a responsibility. I'm sort of glad I don't carry the Meyer name, because I've been able, at least for part of my life, to have an anonymous existence and a professional existence in the theatre and the performing arts. But it's hard in this city not to have that legacy thrust at you.
As you said, Sidney Meyer was famous for his philanthropy, but he also gave to the arts, didn't he?
He did. There's two connections. He learnt the violin, which apparently he played to a reasonable level. He also, when he came and was established in Bendigo, he joined the Bendigo Shakespeare Society, because apparently he thought that this was the best way to improve his English. And it is said that he played King Lear, although I've never seen a program to prove it, but he certainly was a member of the Bendigo Shakespeare society. He loved classical, Western classical music, I suppose part of the Russian tradition, and he wanted others to have the same joy from that he had. In 1929, he paid for, well, he was involved in the development of the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, bringing together the university orchestra and an outside semi-professional orchestra in to become the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. And in 29, he paid for them to give public free concerts for the people of Melbourne in the Royal Botanical Gardens, just near here. And he did that for some years. And then in 1932, he left 10,000 shares in his business to the University of Melbourne to provide an endowment for perpetual free concerts for the people of Melbourne. And once the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl opened in 1959, they moved from the gardens and other venues in which they'd played to this fantastic outdoor venue. And every February there is a series of MSO concerts here for the people of Melbourne. If the weather is good, and it usually is, you get up to 10,000 people a night loving those concerts here, sitting up on the lawns, looking down at this extraordinary vista with the city lights behind.
As you said, Sidney Meyer died in 1934, leaving behind a huge fortune, much of which was channeled towards philanthropy. I know that the Sidney Meyer Fund gives very generously to a range of causes, but you've been very generous to the arts in particular. Why fund the arts?
Well, partly it's part of the DNA of the family. Sidney Meyer left part of his estate for a permanent charitable fund, which paid for this music bowl. Music has been very much part of the family's life and love. It's expanded to all of the arts, the performing arts, the visual arts. 30 years ago, to mark the 50th anniversary of his death, the trustees of the Sidney Meyer Fund established the Sidney Meyer Performing Arts Award, which provide a substantial cash prize and the honour and glory to an individual, to an organisation or company, and to what we call a facilitator, which is someone who's not a professional artist themselves, but who makes the arts possible. And those awards have now been going for 31 years, and we published a wonderful book with all those winners in it to celebrate their career and their contribution to Australia. We do it because the arts change lives, because the arts open new vistas for people, because they give people pleasure, because they challenge convention, because artists are some of the most innovative and dynamic and stirrers in the community, who bring about change at all levels in society, and because they touch all people. I mean, people tend to think of philanthropy as an elitist activity for the wealthy. In fact, the community is full of philanthropy, people who give time, talent or treasure to local musical organisations, dance classes for their children, to theatre groups, to voluntary activities. They see the best Australian artists on television and in film. They read the books of wonderful Australian writers. And the arts are pervasive across the society and represent a very powerful, not just creative force, but an economic force in the society. They're fun.
I understand that you don't like the term philanthropist, though.
I don't like it. I think if you say you're a philanthropist, or someone says you're a philanthropist, I think many people probably think that means he's a bit of a wanker, a bit self-indulgent, a bit self-important. As I say, there's philanthropy exists at all levels in the community, and in fact, all the research and statistics show that the most generous people in our community are the very poorest. They give a much higher percentage of their time, talent and treasure So I actually prefer the old-fashioned word charity, because people understand that and they know that everyone can be charitable. You can be charitable in attitude as well as, you know, giving away money or time or whatever.
Kirillo, you're the chair of the Sydney Meyer Fund and one of the life governors of the Meyer Foundation. Did you always want to follow in your grandfather's footsteps and be involved in the Meyer family's philanthropic work?
No. When I was young, I ran as far away from it all as I possibly could. I went to the United States and studied acting and worked in the theatre until I was thrown out of New York by Actors Equity 7 days off a Broadway show for having the effrontery to be an Australian. And I came back here and worked in the theatre. And so for a long time, I resisted it. Not that I wasn't proud of it, but I wanted to make my own life, develop my own career, have my own networks, my own friends, my own values. When you've done that, then you actually have something to contribute.
I imagine being born into the Meyer family is a privilege, but has it ever felt like too much of a responsibility for you?
There are times when it does. My mother used to say being a member of this family is a full-time occupation, and it can be. There are umpteen boards and committees and responsibilities that you're expected to carry out. I lost my brother when he was 19 and I was 17, so there was only me left in my branch of the family, which meant I've not had siblings to share the load, so I have tended to play a lot of different roles in the family group. I mean, in the end, it took me out of working professionally in the theatre, because you cannot run a company as I was doing in the Playbox Theatre and building the Malthouse and doing that. To have one of those positions requires 120% commitment, and I wasn't able to give it that because these other responsibilities were encroaching. So I made the call in about 96, I think it was, that I had to stop being a professional theatre person and shift gears across and change my acting career to acting as a respectable company director and learn new lines. And I was able to do that reasonably successfully. I feel drawn back to the other world. Many of my friends, probably a majority of my friends, come from the arts and from those days. They're very truthful friendships because they're not based around someone coming to ask you for a grant or help. They're just friends because they value you for who you are, and that's very precious.
It's been 20 years since you made the shift from theatre to philanthropy. In those years, what have you loved most about giving to the arts?
I love the people in the arts that are full-hearted and so committed to their work. They're very like, I sat for 15 years on the Australian Cancer Research Foundation, and I met a lot of people in the medical research field, and listening to their presentations, I had that same excitement of people who are absolutely passionate about tracking some little molecule that's going to do something to save lives in the future. That same obsessive quality that makes them sometimes very difficult people to deal with at a personal level, because they're obsessive, because they want to do good. They're not chasing a commercial return. They're chasing ideas. They're chasing, in the science world, they're chasing what sometimes start as absolutely mad theories that are contrary to what everyone else has been telling them all their career, and yet suddenly they have a thought, why don't we try something different? And writers and actors and dancers and painters, they're the same. So they can be a pain in the butt. But if they have talent and courage, I reckon it's worth putting up with that, because they bring joy and change and challenge and stimulation to our society.
Carrillo Gantner speaking to Georgia Moody in the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl, and that's the first of a new series on the art of giving that Georgia's going to be bringing you here on Books and Arts. And the new book that Carrillo mentioned, A History of the Sydney Meyer Performing Arts Awards, is out now.